Let's take now the scriptures and turn in them to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Where we will be looking at verses 4 through 6. We'll begin reading in verse 1 so we get the context. And so we'll be reading chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Looking particularly this evening at verses 4 through 6. Before reading the Word of God, let's pray to Him. Father, we call upon You now, seeking Your blessing. The blessing that we receive, that You promise through the reading and preaching of Your Word. For these things are the means of grace. Your Word, showering grace upon us. And so give us Your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds with the shining a light in the dark places of our selves. Speak to us where we need to be spoken to. Convict us of our sin. Build us up in righteousness and in hope for what awaits us, the people of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. These are the words of God. They are sufficient for you in all of life. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is the word of the Lord. Last Lord's Day we began hearing of how we are to test the spirits to see if they are of the Lord or not. Are they from God or not? Are they of God or are they of the evil one, the spirit of the Antichrist, the false prophets, false teachers, or is the Spirit that great Holy Spirit? How do we discern this? How do we discern so that we may be confident in that last day when we go before the Lord on the great day of judgment, which we heard this morning? How may we be confident and assured now in our salvation? Or be granted an understanding now that we are apart from Christ, having been formerly self-deceived, now knowing that we need Christ and His Spirit more than ever for salvation. This evening we're going to look at verse 4 in more detail, as we heard last week, and we did there, and investigating how it is that we as God's children have overcome those evil spirits of the Antichrist who manifest themselves often in this world as false prophets and false teachers who have as their master the ruler of this world, Satan himself. We have the reason at the end of verse 4. It says, because greater is he who is in the world, than he who is in the world. And so the first point this evening we look at is, he who is of the world is great. He who is of the world is great. He who is of the world, his greatness lies and that He forms and fashions these things of the world of creation because He has created Himself. He molds them in the world's appetite, which is for sin and evil continually, for some sort of religious teaching. He inspires for His own ends that religious teaching to serve His world and to be accepted by it. His ends. And so there are false prophets who are sure of their own measure of success. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as from the world. And the world, as it says in our passage, listens to them. Hears them. And follows them. But the great news for you, beloved, is that He cannot succeed with you who are from God. For there is one in you who is greater than He is. Because the Spirit who is in the children of God gives inward spiritual intelligence and insight. You yourselves are from God, it says, and therefore competent to judge, discern what is spoken from the Word and what is spoken in the world. Speaking that which is from God, from the Word of God, is not and cannot be acceptable to the world, but only to the one who is of God, from God, and knows God. You look at the world and Him that is in the world. The one who is spoken of here, He is great, undeniably great, greater than all of this world of creation. Great in power and wisdom and command of resources and subtlety, as He was at the fall and is still today in the use of them. The world lives, moves, and has its being in Him. He is in it as the source of sinful activities, the dictator of the world's moral laws, the guide of the world's pursuits and pleasures. He's the ruler of all darkness found in the world. The darkness is this deep alienation from God, and He rules that. And He rules it in a very special way. Very specially for the purpose of getting the world to be satisfied with an image instead of the reality of godliness, of God. The devil knows that the world is religious because he knows that the Lord made the world originally to worship Him, worship the Lord. And so all creatures worship. There is religion in all people at the core of their being. We know in Romans, they even see the things of God, and they deny it. And they worship creatures instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. The devil himself can't put off religion. Doesn't need to convince the fool who says in his heart there is no God. What the devil does do is he takes advantage of whatever may be the world's mood at the time regarding God and His worship, and he throws himself into it. He works to control and inflame it, to turn it not to God, but to himself. Worship of the devil. He works and manipulates and brings it under the moving of his prophets and teachers. In their minds, not always consciously false. Some false prophets and teachers, probably many, believe themselves to be true and telling the truth. Often they are attempting to be true, able men. Sometimes they are even men of God, men of prayer, which is the reason for your need to be discerning in the church of Jesus Christ. He brings it into contact with the world which he has taught, and he causes his teachers to draw much in their teaching from the world. And so they are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world. The world listens to them. Children, beloved, you need to grasp this point that there is one in the world who is great, greater than you or even all of us put together in our power. And skill. He is great in power and skill to manage and Master. He is from age to age, not eternal, but for many years, centuries, millennium. The world's ever-changing religiousness. He is great in the strange and terrible command he wields over the most gifted and skilled, and sometimes even the most godly of the prophets or teachers. He grasps this point because he tempts the Christian, even one who would be most godly, like the high priest Aaron. And so if the world at his instigation wants a golden calf, there's an Aaron under his temporary influence ready to provide one. If the world wants a rock band in worship to disturb giving reverence to God instead wanting to be entertained, there is an elder or pastor ready under Satan's influence to do so. If the people of God moved by Satan desire their heart, their ears to be tickled because they've been tempted and they're falling into sin, and they want their ears to be tickled with false words, and he's there able to tempt the false teacher to give it to them, or even the godly minister. If men are growing weary of the old wine, the good old doctrines we find in the scriptures, he being too glad to make them more weary of it and help them also to excuse their weariness with the pastor and his preaching or other excuses that you will come up with, even to not attend worship. And he'll give them new wine, new doctrines through his instruments to fill their desire. He is in and among the world of those to whom his servants of the world are to cry. He prepares the world to hear, moves his servants to cry according to his pleasure. And the world hears and receives and lives accordingly. He that is in the world is great, great in his ability to make the world, even the world that's found in the visible church, make the world that he would have it to be, great in his ability to find and fit and fashion servants, slaves, who being of the world will speak of the world and to the world, and of whom therefore the world will hear. There is a power or law of action and reaction between the world and its prophets, the world and the church, visible church, the world and the church and its false prophets, which given the greatness of him who is in the world, the prince of this world, deserves very careful notice by you, God's people. The world and the church, visible church, obviously. You see, John's not really talking about those outside the church here. He's warning the Christians, right? He's warning them of what they will come in contact with. He's talking to the visible church who are of the world. He's not talking about those who do not even profess Christ, profess those who don't even profess to be religious. His sole concern is with the church and the spirits in the church that are to be tested, to be tried. And you who are to test them are God's people. Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, has within the church a world of his own, a world in which he is and is great and deceives many. Look how many who profess to be of the church, how many so-called assemblies who have even the word church in their congregation's name, and yet are so deceived as to be really no church at all. We consider, at least in our nation, the likes of those who would follow the Joel Osteens or the Joyce Meyers or the Rob Bells of this world. They say they are of the church, but they are following one who is greater than them, who is great, Satan, and his false teachers. Are they truly of the visible church? No. certainly not of the invisible church. But many would be considering them to be just that, to be of the church, because even the word church is in their name. Therefore, it must be good. And Satan in such assemblies is great within it, very much through his making skillful, intelligent use of this law of action and reaction between what the world craves and what its false prophets give, with often a touch of truth. And don't you assume that if you have itching ears, that there will be found preachers who will feed and foster that disease. If you're drawn to a gospel which is false, a gospel explaining away the atonement, reducing the incarnation to mere truth about humanity, or glorying in humanity, instead of its being about the redemption by substitution, do you not know that Satan will provide exactly what you want? If in any assembly there springs up a desire, a craving for excitement, a demand of novelty, the old preaching of the cross fails to satisfy, if a certain restless desiring a new spiritual taste begins to come about, if a cry for signs and miracles, for wonders is heard, all experience, all history proves that it will not be long before men appear who carried away themselves by temptations of the, who are carried away by the temptations of the great one of this world, who will prove able and willing servants to encourage others to try such new things. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. The world listens to them. Why? Because great is he who is in the world, who's of the world, who's from the world. The second truth we find here that we, God's people, must hold to is he who is in us is greater. He who is in us is greater. Verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. That is the false teachers, false prophets, the spirits of the Antichrist. You are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He who is in God's people is God Almighty. He's infinitely strong. He strengthens you with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. As it says in Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He is strong. He makes you strong, strong in holding fast the form of sound words, for contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, strong in cleaving to the truth as it is in Jesus, as it was delivered by the prophets and apostles, as what they're talking about here. Verse 6, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us, the apostle, the prophets and the apostles, of which Christ is the chief cornerstone of that foundation. He is strong in your real, personal, close, and loving relationship with him whom to know is eternal life. He who is in you is God. There's only one God. And he is God abiding in you by his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. He is in you not merely on your side, at your right hand, around you, but in you, in your very being, giving you the Holy Spirit is him being in you. He's working in you, thus. And so working in you to secure your safe victory in this great fight of truth against error over the world. And he who is great in the world. He makes you to be quick in your understanding in the fear of the Lord, quick to apprehend what they who are of God are moved by Him to speak. The Spirit being present in us, abiding in us, moves us to speak words that are received by those who are from God. They may be heard by all, even those of the world who are within the visible church, those who profess faith in their children, and who knows how it will be received by the world, except that in the end they will not listen to the words of God. Through the preaching and teaching of the Word, the Spirit working through the man, He who is greater than all, imparts to you, in whom His Spirit is present, a certain spiritual intelligence, insight, and discernment by which enables you to recognize in what you hear and read or remember the very truth of the true and living God, sanctifying, saving your souls. He is in you, bringing your heart to a deep conviction of sin and then healing completely and tenderly by the sprinkling of Jesus' life-giving blood. He's in you, causing the commandment to come home to your heart so that you die helplessly condemned under the righteous sentence of the law, and then bringing you back to life so lovingly with the life-giving assurance that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's in you, causing you to see and feel that instead of being rich and having need of nothing, you are poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, apart from Him. And then in you He presses to show how gracious the Lord's affection is toward you, that you may have Him freely without price. He's in you, forming you for Christ and forming Christ in you. He's in you to cause to well up within you a sense of intimate oneness between you and Christ that cannot be broken. To know this oneness at the very least is knowing in your heart now that He is supreme over your life. It is knowing that the Lord reigns. Verse 6, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. The clear statement. We are born of God, thus taught of God, anointed of God, and so secured against infectious, fatal delusions. God's people cannot be mortally seduced. And so do you know the Lord in His excellencies, His holiness, His righteousness, and all of His revealing Himself through the Word, His works, which are great. And when they come through the speaking of the Word, the preaching of the Word, do you hear and receive them? Because one who does, longing to live, what you hear out by faith is one who knows God and has the Spirit. For by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. All here are exhorted to consider well in what it is that your security lies. When you're called to test the spirits, what it is that alone can give you certain and decisive victory over false prophets and teachers, even over the devil himself. It must be God being in you, abiding in you, giving His Spirit to you, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, in the visible church's world, the world within the visible church. And the worldly people who are amongst the people of God, and the worldly materials in which too large a measure of the church is composed. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. The spirit of error is near. Trying, critical days are at hand. What is to be your protection and your comfort, your security? How are you to be prepared? You are to be warned here that it is not head knowledge that will do. It's not logic or words or philosophy or theology, not creeds or catechisms or confessions, not great training in the best manual, not the being familiar with the best and most orthodox writings among men, not skill in argument and debate. Nothing will do but God being in you, in your heart, God in Christ dwelling in you, God giving you His Spirit. It is only that and an assurance in that that will keep you safe. For as he that is not of God will not hear us who speak as being of God. And so he who knows God will not hear the false prophets. And so the good shepherd himself, Jesus, assures us. He goes before the sheep, God's people. He goes before the sheep and they follow him because they know his voice. But to the world, he's a stranger. They will not follow a stranger. The goats will not, but they will flee away from the good shepherd. Only the sheep of God's fold follow the good shepherd. The stranger is the false prophet. Anyone who has the spirit of the Antichrist, the sheep will not follow the stranger. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and none is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Remind yourselves of what it says here. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, you are great in power, in majesty, in greatness, in holiness, and in love, in truth. And you have created all things, even this being, Satan, the devil himself, the great serpent, who deceived our father and mother, Adam and Eve. He is subtle, and yet greater than all of us put together. We could even say greater than all creatures put together from all time. But he is not greater than you. For you are infinite. He is finite. You are eternal. And you is life forever. And him is death and destruction in hell forever. We thank you that through the discerning of your people, the testing of the spirits, the church, the kingdom of God on earth will grow. And Satan's kingdom eventually will be destroyed and is already confirmed that it will be at the cross and the resurrection. For now he is in prison, not able to deceive the nations any longer. But now the word is going forth to all nations, and all to whom your spirit goes, they hear and believe. Lord, so great is your power and might in your spirit, who is present in us, that it is said, if we resist this great one, he will flee from us. That is not because of the greatness that we have in ourselves, or that because we are so spiritual or holy in ourselves. but it is because the Holy Spirit who dwells in us is the Spirit of Christ, who has been sent by the Father and the Son. And you, Lord, are greater than all. Lord, give us discernment to test the spirits. Even as we in the church hear your word preached, proclaimed, taught, even in our various fellowships with those who call themselves Christians. Father, give us discernment. And give us boldness to speak when the spirit of the Antichrist comes up and false teaching happens. Give especially this boldness and authority from your word alone to your ministers, to your elders. Protect our congregation from error, that there would be no spirit of error here amongst our people, amongst your people here, but only the spirit of truth. Father, we thank you that in Christ we have hope. Your promise here is a promise of hope, that we are able to test the spirits, that we're able to discern whether the Holy Spirit is present with us or not. Lord, we ask that you would give us assurance of salvation and so do this great work, enabling us to be discerning. All for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.